successful in this, but at the end of each year and the beginning of the next, I've tried to sort of look back at the previous year and look forward to the next year and talk about the things that happened in the previous year and the things that we can look forward to in the upcoming year. And I was gone the last Sunday of December and the first Sunday of this month. And so I want to take the time this morning to not do a traditional kind of Bible study, even though we'll reference some scriptures. I want to take some time this morning to look back at 2016, at some things that happened that hopefully will be instructive for us, and then look forward in some ways to 2017 and some things that are upcoming. As I look back at, and when I got to thinking about doing this morning, I got to thinking, you know, what happened in 2016 that had the greatest impact upon me? And as far as I'm concerned, it was the death of Gary Holman. I don't know when someone's death has touched me and moved me as much as Gary's death 2 months ago. In over the last 2 months, I find myself thinking about Gary, and then I realize I'm not going to see her Sunday. You know, and I find myself almost literally shaking my head and thinking, I just can't believe this. I really can't believe that Gary's gone. And then the reality hits that, yeah, there she is. Gary's, and I know I said these things at the time that Gary died at the memorial service and so forth, but it will help us maybe to refocus some things. Gary's learned some things from Gary's life and Gary's death. From Gary's life, I think one of the greatest lessons that I learned that all of us can learn is what it means to be a servant. Gary served this congregation in the way that Jesus spoke about it in Luke chapter 22. We talked about it in our Bible class this morning. Gary did not aspire to greatness in the kingdom. She did not aspire to prominent positions. Gary was one of these people who let her light shine. She didn't shine it. And there's a difference. She didn't go around making sure people knew what she was doing. Gary just went about doing things in Gary's very quiet, unassuming way. And you may not have found out for 2 or 3 weeks, 2 months, or whatever, that, well, Gary was doing, oh yeah, Gary was doing this, Gary was doing that. And I try to remember that about Gary. And I'm so thankful that we had someone among us who lived that kind of life and whose life we can look back on and learn from and strive to be the kind of servant that Gary Holman was. And we learned some things from Gary's death. As I mentioned at the time that she died, the last time we spoke, we were right up there in that foyer. And we had a really great conversation, as we always did. And we said goodbye, and I thought, well, I'll see you Sunday. And next thing I know, I'm sitting in a motel room in North Louisiana, and I get this text from Rob that Gary's dead. I just could not believe it. And I thought about Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto man once to die. The appointment of death is certain. The time of that death is not. It might come at a young age. Could come at an elderly age. There were those who really I expected to die before Gary did, and whose funeral I expected to preach at before Gary's, and it didn't turn out that way. And all of us can learn from Gary's death about the absolute uncertainty of life, the certainty of death, but the uncertainty of the time, and therefore the need to make whatever adjustments that need to be made in our lives. Gary's sweet disposition, her smile, her kind words are things that I hope that those of us who knew Gary for so long will absolutely never forget. But then other things happened in 2016 that are happier than that. And I guess that to me, one of the first things is we went through an elder appointment process. And Ricardo Baca has been serving now for several months as one of our elders with myself and Rob and Gus. And it has been just an extremely positive thing. And I'm not saying this because I feel like I've got to. If I didn't feel as well, I just would ignore it. I wouldn't say anything. But it's just been very positive. Working with Ricardo has been a fine thing. When he and Nikki moved here, has it been 3 years? Yeah, I thought it was 3 years. When they moved here 3 years ago, they came in here and hit the ground running. They came in here and started getting involved and working and teaching classes. And Ricardo started taking that Wednesday morning class, which is not a ladies' class. It's just anybody who wants to come class. And anytime I need a substitute for my class here in the auditorium, I can always, unless he's going to be out of town or something, I can always depend upon Ricardo. And so, and Nikki, the same thing in teaching classes and the visiting that they do and so forth. God has really blessed us with Ricardo and Nikki and the work that they do here for us. 1 Corinthians 12 comes to my mind when I think of Ricardo and Nikki and the use of their talents. They're part of the body. They're part of the team. And they have a niche in our work here in our family. And it has been a most positive experience for us, not only as elders, but for the group as a whole. And so that was a great thing that took place when Ricardo became an elder. And then all of this is in the kind of sort of the latter part of 2016. Seth was baptized, something that I think a lot of us were expecting that to happen at some point. And we're glad that Seth not only set a good example for other young people. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 comes to mind. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Do it while you're young. And Seth has done that. And he not only sets, as I said, not only sets a fine example for those who are young, his peers, who need to do the same thing, perhaps, but for all of us who need to make whatever adjustments in our life, as far as our relationship to God is concerned, we need to do that, and we need to learn from Seth. And so, to Seth and to Ricardo and Nikki, for the very positive influence that you have had upon our work here, not just in 2016, but even since you've been here, we express our appreciation and our thanks for the example that you have set. 2016 also showed a continuing relationship with some men that we support as evangelists in other places. The first that comes to mind is Daryl. Email, who we have been supporting now for, I know it's between 10 and 15 years, maybe 12 or 13, something like that. Something that I don't know how many of you know this about Daryl, but Daryl has a degree if you'll pardon the Alabama reference, has a degree from Alabama in chemistry or chemical engineering. I've forgotten. But anyway, he has a degree that he could take into the private sector. And he could be someone who is very, very financially well off at this point in his life. Daryl is in his late 50s, early 60s. He's about 10 years younger than me, I guess. And so by this time, you know, he could have taken that degree and really turned it into something that was worthwhile financially for him. And he'd be set for life, good retirement, all of that. And again, Daryl decided he wanted to serve other people. He wanted to serve the Lord, but he wanted to serve other people. And so for the last 25 years, Daryl has, and this will be his defining work, I guess, for the last 25 years, Daryl has devoted his life to helping the people in China spiritually. Frequent trips over there, spending a lot of time, 3 or 4 times a year, spending 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time working with people. And as I think you have understood through the reports that he gives when he comes here on a yearly basis, these are not tourist trips. These are not pleasure trips. Daryl has told some hair-raising stories, especially in the years that when he first started going over there, in those years. He told one story one time that it was like a James Bond thriller. I've never forgotten it. He puts his life on the line when he goes to China to preach. Doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to do that. He could sit back and really enjoy Colorado if he wanted to. But that's not Daryl. And so we owe Daryl an immense amount of thanks for the work that he does. And we hope that perhaps next year, I don't know when Daryl's going to come back to do his report. I was gone during the time that he made his last report. But we hope to have Daryl and his wife maybe come and spend 6 weeks, 2 months with us here in Corpus, primarily to go out to the campus at A&M and try to get something going. We've tried this before with the Chinese students. Daryl has a real skill set at that. I know Rob talked about his experience with Daryl when he was here back in November, or whenever that was, October, November, and the things that he saw that Daryl does so well. And so if he can come here maybe and stay a couple of months and use those skill sets out on the campus and maybe get something going with the Chinese students. And then, of course, if we had him here for that long, we'd want him to teach and preach. Daryl's one of those people. I don't know how you feel about Daryl's teaching and preaching, but Daryl's one of those guys that when I hear Daryl preach and teach, he stimulates me to think. Daryl causes me to think. And Daryl inspires me to want to be a better student and a better preacher. And that's one of the hallmarks, as far as I'm concerned, about Daryl. And so we would certainly benefit if Daryl and Linda are able to come here and stay for a while. We look forward to that. Epafrodito Sandoval is another man that we support down in Vallehermosa, Mexico. One of the regrettable things about our relationship with Epafrodito is that we don't get to see him hardly at all. When we first started supporting Epafrodito, I guess 15 years ago at least, when we first started that, several of us went down there on a couple of occasions and went down to Vallehermosa and visited, not on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but during the week. But right after that second visit that we made, it became obvious that travel in Mexico was not smart. It really wasn't a good thing for us to keep making those trips down there because of the drug cartels and all of that kind of stuff. Things got really, really dicey. And so we have quit. And Epafrodito is not able to come up here the way he wants to. And so we've only seen Epafrodito maybe 3 or 4 times since we began supporting him. Epafrodito, he does send us reports periodically. I looked, and we don't have one posted. The last one has not been posted. But something that, you know, Epafrodito does do a little bit of English. Not really, really well, but he does a little bit. And that's something that, and of course, we have a lot of people here who speak Spanish, who are fluent in Spanish, writing and speaking. And if you wanted to contact Epafrodito, you know, it would be a good thing. You email him and just express your appreciation for his work. He's like Darrow in China. Epafrodito is busy, busy, busy all the time. And it's nothing unusual when we get reports from Epafrodito to find out that he's baptizing people. Not only when he goes off in meetings, but baptizing people there in Vallehermosa. I'm sure he's a guy that would appreciate some contact and for you telling him how much you appreciate him. And with the translation capabilities you've got on the internet, you know, you can write it out in English and translate it and send it to him, or get somebody here that writes and speaks Spanish to do that for you. But, you know, communicating with Epafrodito and his wife would probably be a good thing. And then we have started supporting a man in Russia, and I can't think of his name. I don't know that I could pronounce it even. But anyway, we've started supporting him. And I know that one of the things I remember in one of the initial reports, Kenny Chumbly, who held a meeting for us here a few months ago, has been over there, knows this man, has met him and spoke highly of him, and some others spoke very, very highly of him. And in one of the initial reports that we got, one of the things that stood out was that in some of their, I don't know if it's when Kenny was over there, but in one of their assemblies, they can't meet, kind of like in China. It's not really a comfortable situation to meet publicly. And the thing that struck me was in one of their assemblies, they were having to whisper the songs. They couldn't sing out. They were whispering the songs. You talk about people who are committed to the Lord, knowing that if people heard them singing, they could be reported and they could suffer in that communist regime. The people in China that Darrow works with, the people in Russia that this man works with, and even the brethren in Mexico, while they're not under that same kind of problem, that's not the best environment in the world. So these men that we support, Darrow and Epafrodito and this brother in Russia, are making huge, huge sacrifices, and in many cases putting their life on the line in order to preach the gospel and help other people. And we need to be supportive and appreciative of those people. There are things going on here in the congregation, and a lot of them are not being done with a lot of noise, kind of like Gary and the work that she did. I know that over the last month or so, or maybe longer than that, Rob and Larry have been using Sunday afternoons to go out and make visits to people, Christians and non-Christians, people that need encouragement and support. And that's beginning to show some positive results. And you need to know about that. And encourage them in the work that they're doing. Jennifer Cargill has and this has been going on for quite a while, a ladies' class in her home on a weekly basis. And that's a good thing. And at one time, where's Hutch? He was here. Yeah. Are y'all still having that home Bible study with the people across the street? I know y'all were doing that for a while.
It's been deferred while Janice is having.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. Okay. I knew that they had that class. I didn't know if it was still going up. Rob? Oh, that's right. Thank you. I'm sorry. That's a bad thing about doing this kind of thing. You're going to leave something out or leave someone out. So I appreciate that. So anyway, we've got those home studies going on. I'm still studying with Sharon and Leah in China at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. Sharon's work schedule has increased dramatically. She's got two jobs. So our study schedule is sort of in a state of flux because of that. And I was talking to her one day last week, and I've been wanting to... Sharon's been gone for nearly 2 years, and be 2 years this April. And so I'm hoping to get over there and visit and do some work with her, and I hope to see Leah also. We're talking about trying to see Leah while I'm over there. And but Sharon said it would probably be September, October before she could kind of arrange her schedule where we can do that. And she wants her father involved with whatever we do. So, you know, you never know what might result from that. But those are some things as I look back at 2016. And again, I apologize for probably leaving some names out of this and leaving some events out of this. But with my state of mind, I hope that you can excuse that. I just have forgotten some of those things. But anyway, I think that we've got a whole lot to be thankful for here. One of the things I did last year, I went through that series on the seven churches of Asia for the express purpose of our trying to do some kind of objective evaluation of the work here. But there's a lot going on, and things that I see in people's lives publicly as they serve here are very, very encouraging. And as far as I can see, and I think Rob and Gus and Ricardo agree, that our future looks great. And I hope that we can continue in that way. Okay, and speaking of Ricardo, I think he's got some announcements at this time.